The flagship station for New York Yankees baseball. WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Bill Ford, Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
I know we were talking a lot about football this morning because of what we saw last night with the kickoff rule and everything else in the Hall of Fame game. I was just going to ask you, you know, I asked you this last week and then we found out that Giancarlo Stanton was basically getting ready to play. Remember I asked you, like, you know, when is he coming back?
Where is he? What's he doing? Is he running? Is he going to have a rehab start? All of that.
Yeah, I got another one for you.
You got another one?
Yeah. Anthony Rizzo.
Where's Rizzo?
And do they... Ben Rice has been so impressive.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
Right? I mean, and Brian Cashman's singing his praises. Sooner or later, like, you know, Rizzo has not been a part of this team for, what, now 6 weeks?
Yeah, and he had, of course, a miserable last year dealing with the head injury and then coming back and not being himself. And then he comes back this year and he's not himself, so... Yeah, I would not be surprised if you just don't see him play the rest of the year. Maybe they give him one more chance. But at this point, with the lineup that they have, especially with Chisholm being here and what he's done offensively in his first few games, you know, if Anthony Rizzo is going to give you what he's given you over the last year and a half, which is ugats, then why not put the young kid in there?
But isn't it a lefty stick off the bench for the short porch?
Yeah, you could have him off the bench for the short porch, sure, if you'd like, but...
Late inning sub?
Maybe, you know, but he's not going to be the everyday presence in the lineup that they expected him to be when they re-signed him. I don't think that'll happen the rest of the year.
I don't think so either. Does not look that way, and you just never know with these young kids. The Yankees always seem to have one of these young kids that come out of nowhere and all of a sudden, you know, catch fire and...
Yeah.
Do some pretty good things and add to the winning, which is what Ben Rice, I guess, he would fall in that category at this point.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to trade him, obviously.
I mean, and you're not going to have an all-star at every position. You like the youthful energy and someone in there that has provided some big moments for them that's a young guy. So I think what you get out of Ben Rice now and hoping that it continues is going to be a hell of a lot better than what they project Anthony Rizzo would be when he came back. But... You never know with these guys. Maybe this time off for Rizzo ignites him and he goes on some sort of magical run and then the Yankees have even a deeper lineup. But I don't think that's going to happen.
You know, one of the things that came out of their last couple games was, you know, DJ LeMahieu coming out of his funk a little bit and how much the players appreciated everything that, you know, we don't see.
Mm-hmm.
And they really like him and he's an extremely popular guy in that locker room. Let's see if that... keeps going. That would be something. That would be something that, you know, if you were talking about DJ LeMahieu 2 years ago, compared to where he has been the last 2 years.
Well, I mean, he's dealt with injuries, obviously. He was the machine. His first year here, he won the batting title. He was amazing. So he's dealt with a lot of foot injuries, too, which slows guys down in every single sport. So, yeah, if that keeps going, that's another one. I mean, the Yankees have a solid base and a solid core of guys that you know are going to hit. And it's just a matter of those guys hitting the postseason and how the rest of the lineup, you know, will you get DJ hitting? Will you get Glaber hitting? Will Ben Rice be hitting? Will Verdugo hit? I mean, and that has been the thing that's held them back more than anything in the postseason. It hasn't been the pitching. It hasn't been the bullpen. It's been the lack of offense being able to score.
You know, how many more innings is Luis Gil going to be allowed to pitch?
That's another one. Keep an eye on that.
I'm keeping an eye on it. That's why I'm asking you.
You need him in the postseason.
That's why I'm asking you.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the limit is. I don't know if they've said that publicly or not. But
oh, and by the way.
Yeah.
You know, I know that I did bring this up. I'm not taking any joy in this. At all.
If it's you being right about something, you certainly are.
Okay, but
there's nothing makes
it
you
is
happier.
Me being, it, there is me. It is me being right about something.
Well, then you are taking
and
joy.
And I think you guys took it as a grain of salt. And I said, you know, when is this going to happen? And it happened. And I'm, but I don't take joy out of it happening because of what happened. It's just that I kind of predicted it because this is what happens. And you could have predicted it. Fleas could have predicted it. Zoo could have predicted it. Who's that guy on the board?
That's Rami.
Oh, Rami. That's you, Rami. Rami is like our Malik neighbors.
How do we know?
Well, that's what we're going to find out right now.
Yeah, well, it's been two errors so far, but
okay.
You give him a pass for the first show.
Okay, yeah.
You know?
He's a little nervous, I'm sure.
But I'm counting him.
Okay. Was the Christian Scott UCL injury?
Right. Yes. You did also say the same thing about Paul Skeens, did you not? So every young pitcher that you like,
Or
anybody's just pitching well, you say the same thing about. So you're going to hit on some of them, you know?
Well, wait a minute, time out.
That's what you do.
When's his Tommy John coming?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's what you do.
Yeah, but this was a Met-specific situation, and I knew it was coming. Knew it.
See, this poor kid. Is going
yeah,
through.
But I am not taking joy out of the fact that I predicted that.
Okay.
I'm not.
You brought it up, and you got a little bit of a smile on your face.
I do not have a smile on my face because of that. I have a smile on my face because of the way you're reacting.
I mean,
it has nothing to do with a man getting injured.
Man, I tell you.
It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the way you're reacting to what I'm telling you.
But will you admit that every young pitcher that comes up that throws hard, you say the same thing about?
Didn't I send you something in regards to why we have this rash of UCL injuries?
Oh God, are you going to tell me it's about? Is this like youth baseball stuff again?
No, it's not.
Because I can't.
It's not
deal
about
with that.
Youth baseball.
I can't
stuff.
Deal with that.
It's Did about. You? It's about all the major leaguers that come in that are averaging like over 95, 96 miles an hour because everybody out there is trying to go balls to the wall every time they step on the mound as opposed to the way Justin Verlander, young in his career, would hit 92 and wouldn't push 96, 97 until maybe he needed it late in the game. Managing his arm, being smart, as opposed to all these young kids now that are just trying to throw the baseball through the catcher.
No, I've got... The last two things you sent me were, here's the dynamic kickoff rule.
Okay.
You sent me that.
Yep.
And then the next thing you sent me was transgender gambling tips. So I don't see the UCL thing. But.
Well, the gambling tips were on that boxer.
That's
what I told you. I said, look, if they're going to let him fight, whatever, then you might as well bet on him.
No,
or her.
I know why you sent it, because we had Izzo in here talking about it. Izzo also sent me things.
I thought that was before that. That was before Izzo came in here.
Was it?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, because Izzo was in here with us late in the show yesterday.
Oh,
I sent that before that.
You know what you did? You're on top of this, too.
100, yeah, of course.
UCL injuries and transgender gambling.
Yeah, 100%.
You're on top of it.
You wanted to make some money before you go to Italy, this was a way for you to do it. That's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I should have known. So, I mean, since we're here anyway, what the hell happened yesterday after we got off the air? Because then everybody was saying that they
brought it up.
No. I'm saying, because I get a text from Andrew Bogish telling me that the original fighter who, Iman, was it?
Yes. Kamal or something. Yes.
So
from Algeria.
Right. That fighter that we talked about, he texted me that she was born a woman and that it was some sort of genetic disorder that led to the high levels of male hormones that made her fail the gender test
for the World Boxing Federation or something.
I'm confused because you got everybody saying that it's a transgender person and other people saying no, it's not. So I don't even know anymore. But the bottom line is that as far as the hormones were concerned, it was at level that was unacceptable in the past. So I don't know what to believe anymore. I don't know. So, but the bottom line is that it created a crazy firestorm, and some people don't believe that she was born a woman, and maybe she was born a woman and started transitioning to a man. I don't know, but it doesn't sound like this person should have been boxing doing women's boxing.
No, especially with the outcome and the results that you saw.
Right, right.
And
exactly.
How much she is physically bigger than the person she fought. Now, the next fighter she is getting ready to fight is basically saying, I'm not backing away. I'm not afraid.
Yeah.
So good for her. She's, I think, a Romanian fighter or a Hungarian fighter. I'm not sure.
Yeah, the Romanians don't back down, right?
No, I don't think so.
It's been in their history. It's been in their blood for many years.
Yeah, there's so many nuances within all of this stuff.
Yeah, I know. That's why it was really confusing. So it was on it originally was on the front page of the Post this morning, and now we've got something else there. So I was going to click on the article and read. Oh, here we go. So it says, standing pat, IOC defends its Iman Khalif position in Olympics boxing gender controversy.
Claiming that her birth certificate says she was female.
Right.
So and that's what they're basing it on.
So Iman Khalif of Algeria and Lin Yu Ting of Taiwan have come under fire after failing gender eligibility tests and being disqualified by the IBA at the 2023 World Championships in India. So they were not eligible there for gender tests. The IOC does not require similar gender eligibility tests. They were stating that it was an arbitrary decision. So, and then it also says, the IOC wrote in a statement, we've seen in reports misleading information about two female athletes competing at the Olympic Games in Paris 2024. The two athletes have been competing in international boxing competition for many years in the women's category, including the Olympic Games Tokyo 2020. So I'm totally confused. So I don't know what is what. I really don't know. But what it sounds to me is that if you're failing a gender test,
yes,
you probably shouldn't be fighting a woman. That's where I land after all of this. Yeah. After all of it, that's sort of where I land.
You know, my thing is, you know, I'll take my I kind of take my cue from Riley Gaines, you know, the female swimmer who basically came out against Leah Thomas.
Yeah.
And is trying to fight for women's rights in this regard.
Right.
And making sure women have a fair and equal and level playing field.
Right.
Or in this case, a boxing ring or a pool. And she's the one that had to live through it and watch it and feel it.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, for sure. Now, I also don't know that the information that people are using to say that these two boxers were born female is correct either. I mean, this conversation has been going on for a while. The biggest example was Leah Thomas, as you mentioned. So it's going to come up again.
But no one has released. What I remember this all starting from
was the movie Ladybugs with Rodney Dangerfield?
No, seven or eight.
Where they put the man in the wig.
7 or 8 years ago, there was a situation in Connecticut high school sports where there were two runners who were born male and were running in female events. And they were basically owning every single one of the events. That's kind of when I remember the genesis of this this world.
Yeah.
But now, obviously, because of the politics surrounding everything, and with the way that the Olympics opened, this has become now on the tips of everybody's tongue.
Yes, it has. And I, after all the nuance and going through this whole thing and trying to figure it out, I think I stand with the fact that if you fail the gender test, you shouldn't be fighting women. That's where I think we can all agree on that. But the IOC doesn't have the same tests as some of these other governing bodies.
Yeah, so they allow whatever. The IOC is about as corrupt as FIFA's corrupt.
Oh, yeah.
And
why do
you think they had the whole thing?
A winter and summer Olympics in Beijing within the same decade.
And Sochi.
I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. We know who's on the take. That's for sure. All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Summer Friday.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo. Friday night, my mama went home. They ought to make work and crime.
Sports Network on this Feel Good Summer Friday. Sometimes when I see a headline, I like to do this game where I give you four headlines and you have to choose which one is real. So we've done this a couple times, and I feel like I'm very good at trying to trick you guys, so we're going to see if I can do it again, all right? So one of these is a real headline from the World News section of the New York Post, and I want Rami and Fleegs to be in on this as well. All right, here we go. Headline number one. Protester soils himself while climbing building. Number two, Florida woman arrested after punching llama at petting zoo. Number three, live 2-foot eel chews through man's intestines after he put it up his anus. Number four, boxer Ryan Garcia starts hormone therapy after Olympics controversy.
Is there, is like D, all of the above?
No.
Because they could all be real.
Right, which makes me feel good about my choices and the three that I made up. If you need me to read them again or you'd like to know anything else about them, I'll try to give you some microphone, try to give you some information.
Sorry. Read the eel anus thing.
Who had Boomer saying, read the eel anus thing today?
Not me! Live 2-foot eel chews through man's intestines after he put it up his anus.
Okay, that's not true.
Okay, that's not true. So, which one?
I'm going to go with the woman and the llama.
All right, so Jerry says the real headline is Florida woman arrested after punching llama at petting zoo.
Although I think all four could be.
Okay, but that's the one you're going with.
I'll go with that one.
All right, Fleegs?
I saw the headline, so okay. I know which one is true.
And Rami, do you know too?
I don't know, but I agree with Jerry. Anything that starts with Florida person, I tend to find.
Okay, so we got two llamas. Boomer?
The boxer taking the the hormones, right?
Yep.
You got the eel in the anus.
Yep. The Florida woman punching the llama and protester soils himself while climbing building.
That's a good one, too.
I'm going to go with the protester.
The real answer is, and I did it again, I fooled yous all.
Ryan Garcia?
No, because that's what he said. No, you said protester. Yeah. No, the real one is live 2-foot eel chews through man's intestines after he put it up his anus.
So he did really put... the reason I didn't go with that is because what kind of... Well, he is a jackass, but I mean, why would you put an eel up your anus?
Maybe he got bored of the beads.
What?
I don't know.
This is no way to do your own colonoscopy. Vietnamese doctors removed a live 2-foot-long eel from a man's abdomen that had chewed through his intestines after he shoved it up his anus. The nauseating discovery was made when a 31-year-old Indian national was admitted to Viet Duke Hospital in Hanoi on July 27th with excruciating abdominal pain. Doctors learned that the adventurous patient had slipped the phallic fish up his backside earlier in the day and it tried to escape. The eel had bitten through the patient's rectum and colon to escape into the abdominal cavity.
At what point do you think he panics? Because clearly he wanted it there. At what point do you think it goes through his mind? Not a great idea.
I didn't read this whole article. This line here really is amazing. Doctors attempted to remove the foreign object through the man's anus, but they discovered a large lime that he had also inserted.
Oh, God.
Blocking the way.
Trying to feed it?
Is the lime for, like, flavor?
Holy crap.
This, however, was not the first time an eel was removed from someone's backside in Vietnam this year.
You can sit on my face.
There's pictures of the lime and the eel.
Oh, come on.
There is. Yep. 25 inches long. Yep. After checking for any additional foreign objects hiding inside the man, they stitched him up. Yep. Man, okay. Oh, man. What I talk about pushing the limits.
It's one way to put it.
It's too bad Marash doesn't work with DA anymore.
All right. Here we go. Eel up the anus for Marash.
And we're hoping we can't guarantee he's going to chew through your intestines, Sean Mraz.
Yeah, that would be
but
good.
Bend over. Here, let's go. Yeah. Slippery son of a bitch. Huh? Get up in there.
Jeez.
Yeah, I feel great about these headlines, man. I'm really good at tricking you guys. I am. I can find some fake headlines.
You know, the thing about it is that if you didn't say that he inserted it himself, then I was going to go that. But because you said he inserted it himself.
See, I think that was more common than just an eel climbing up somebody's ass.
No, I don't know.
Because like, the 12-inch one that was removed early in the year just slid up the guy's ass. He didn't know about it.
He didn't put it
in there himself.
Come on. See, that's
that
a
was
lie.
The
that's
next line of the story.
That's a lie. Because if any one of us is somewhere and an eel tries to go up our ass, we're like, get out of there. If you don't want it there. Right?
Or you go, ooh, it tickled.
Or he didn't know what it was.
I don't know.
Is that you, Dave?
It's funny. Oh, man. I do, like, when I do these weeks when you guys are gone, one day I usually try and do the same thing, and I try and create several fake headlines, and sometimes the fake headlines aren't as good as the real ones.
Oh, yeah. Like, no, it's here you go.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. What do you think, Jerry?
About what?
Sports?
The Farmer's Dog. Fresh human grade dog food delivered right to your door. We're also brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. I know you saw this, G, so I'll just start with who said this. Boomer, I'm going to read you a quote.
Oh, here we go.
You're going to tell me who said it. Okay?
All right.
I try to do my best to be present where I am. But you know, at the end of the day, I'm just a player, just out here trying to compete. It's really all I try to do. Then he goes on and continues on and don't focus on my legacy. I don't focus on it. I don't look too far into the future. Ultimately, we'll be forgotten. I mean, it's true. Who said that? And the answer is not me, although I have.
Yes, you have said it. I would say, I'm going to say Dak Prescott.
It is not Dak Prescott, but that's a very good guess.
How about Micah Parsons?
It is not a cowboy. It is not a football player. It's a golfer.
Who just, Xander Schauffele.
It was Scotty Scheffler.
Oh, yep.
Me and Scotty in lockstep.
We're all going to be forgotten.
No, you're not going to be forgotten. See, he won't be forgotten.
He won't be.
Well, eventually.
I mean, 150 years from now, he might be.
Yeah.
No, he won't.
He might be.
He could be the Ben Hogan of his generation.
All right, Ben Hogan is still only 75 years away from winning that big 1950 year. I said 150 years from now.
150.
So you'd have to get to the year 2100 to see who remembers Ben Hogan.
We may not even make it.
We might not. That is very true.
Then what happens to all the records and legacies?
You know, jail really changed that man.
Yes.
Once he came out of there.
Do you know how many people actually wrote that?
Really?
Yes. Because I checked a lot of the replies.
Oh, I didn't see.
And that is very true. All right, so I'll ask you. You remember Willie Goggin?
The sprinter?
Nope.
Another guy stuffed an eel up his ass.
Willie Goggin
finished second at the Masters in 1935. You remember him?
No.
I'm pretty sure people around then remembered him. We're 90 years later. No one remembers Willie Goggin.
Well, who won that year?
Henry Picard.
Well, that's what you should have gone with.
Yes.
Because, well, I'm trying to come up with Scotty's relevant players.
Yeah.
Okay. Ray Mangrum. I'm just saying. This is what
Nobody's
happens.
He's not Scotty Scheffler, number one in the world. I mean,
could have been. We don't even know.
How do you know?
But Scotty Scheffler,
they didn't have
winning,
world rankings winning, in 1935.
Winning and winning. He may win a gold medal.
He might. You very well. He might. I mean, Bobby Jones will be remembered as long as they're playing the Masters.
The only way that
of course.
You know, you're not remember. Well, in this case, he's a professional golfer. But if you really truly want to be remembered and you want to be talked about, you just got to end up killing yourself with your own golf ball in front of your father and kids. That's the way that sticks out.
Can't help yourself, can you?
You brought this
Can
up.
Can someone get me an eel to shove up his anus?
I mean, you brought this up.
Anybody?
I mean, why? You're the one who brought this up. I didn't bring it up.
Bring up what?
Dying and not leaving a legacy.
No, because you guys like to get on me a lot for being a little too real from time to time. There are those that will leave a mark, but many of us will not.
Right. And so when you guys Scotty Scheffler, so when he says
mark,
it.
But he's going to leave a mark.
That is very true for a while.
He will.
But ultimately, as time passes, he will be forgotten. Who won the British Open in 1868?
Old Tom Morris.
No, I don't know about old that. Tom 1865, yes. I don't know about 68.
He was young Tom Morris at that
That's
point.
That's a good point. Yes. That might have been old, actually.
Old Tom Morris?
I think old Tom Morris won the first few, I think.
Yeah.
And then young Tom Morris like 20 years later or whatever it was. Anyhow, I did read the sponsor. Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio. You had the Bears beat the Texans 21-17 and away
did
we
they
go.
Really?
Well, not really, because the game ended in the third quarter.
Right.
So did they really win? No, but it was 21-17 when the game was terminated, as they said. Caleb Williams did not play. Apparently, Williams has told his team somewhere this summer that the locker room needs to be cleaned up. A little too messy for his liking. Amani Toomer on the Carton Show didn't take kindly to that.
He's Russell Wilson 2.0.
Uh-oh.
This is not going to go over well.
Uh-oh.
If you came in the locker room, I've been in this locker room for 8 years, like you said. And you know, some rookie's going to come in who hasn't played one snap.
Right.
Talking, you know, we're wearing the fingernail polish. You know, now he's going to come in here and tell me, we've been here, we've been through the struggle, that I need to clean up? No, how about rookie, how about you clean up after me?
All right, one guy's been in an NFL locker room. The rest of us haven't.
Well, I wasn't a first overall pick, and it's not this generation. I would have never done what Cal Williams supposedly said. I would just keep my head down and just try to stay out of everybody's way.
And this is one of those things.
Keep my locker clean.
This is one of those things where how did he say it? Like, was he being serious? Like, you know? Need some context with that.
I don't know. He stood in front of his team and told him he got a $25 million signing bonus.
Oh.
Well, they liked it, though.
Well, like, you have to do that, though.
Is that like the rookie hazing or something like that?
That's part of that, yes. Yeah. I mean, and I'm sure he's buying into all of that. Hopefully he is, because that will ingratiate him to his teammates.
And the team went nuts. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
Positively.
Again, like, I'm with Gio. I don't know how he said it, what he said. All I know is that it was reported by somebody that he said it.
All right, not sure the context of this, but I'll ask you, weird or not weird? I give you Jeff Darlington on ESPN. He's got a passion. A passion that maybe not a lot of us have. Maybe some do. His passion?
Weird, guilty pleasure. And it is listening to quarterbacks call plays.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like a romance language to me. I have no idea what they're saying.
No, of course not.
Sultry and sweet. I just enjoy it.
Sultry and sweet.
Wow, that's weird. That's weird.
Now, next headline, NFL reporter shoves playbook up his anus.
You guys want me to call you a play?
No,
I'm good.
Good.
All right, okay.
Maybe, I'm fine.
Maybe you'd like it.
Nah. Giants open up their preseason next Thursday with the Lions. You got the Jets and Commanders next Saturday. Justin Herbert diagnosed with plantar fascia injury in his right foot, but is expected to be ready for week one.
Watch that Achilles.
Yes. Tonight at the stadium, you got the first place Yankees.
Now, when Justin Herbert does rupture his Achilles, you're going to take joy in this, just like you did with the UCL injury for Christian Scott?
Not joy, but I'm just saying that if they rush him back, this is what you got to worry about. This is why. Wasn't it Giannis who hurt his calf and he didn't play in the playoffs this year?
He did come back, I think. But yeah, he did hurt his calf.
Yeah, so any sort of calf injury or lower foot injury then puts undue pressure on the Achilles. And I think I want it. It'll be interesting if we actually get to talk to Aaron Rodgers when we do go to Jet Camp. I wonder if he hurt his calf prior. Didn't he? I thought he pulled it. Did he?
He had some injury before last year.
Yeah, last year in camp, he missed time with a calf.
With a calf,
no,
right?
Yeah, with a calf injury, correct.
Same one as the Achilles tendon tear, same leg?
I think it was the same side.
Yeah. So, but now the way that,
that
he
does
hurt
matter.
It, though, yeah. The way he hurt it, though, with Leonard Floyd draped all over him, that obviously added to it.
Right. Wasn't a non-contact like Kirk
Plus
Cousins.
The turf.
Yeah.
Yankees start the day in first place with the Orioles because the Orioles lost in Cleveland. Brandon Hyde, what was the issue? Is your team got drubbed at 10-3.
Didn't swing the bat really well, and it wasn't our best game on the mound.
And you add it up, and it's a big fat loss. Marcus Stroman, Kevin Gausman go tonight at Yankee Stadium. As for the Mets, they're in Anaheim to take on the Angels. Start of a 10-game road trip that also takes them to Colorado and Seattle with a stop, a little detour stop to St. Louis for one game as well. Not a surprise. L.A. officially shutting down Mike Trout for the rest of the season with the knee. He had surgery, comes back, not the same. Here is their GM, Perry Minasian.
Obviously, the news is really disappointing. Trying to find a silver lining out of it. He will be healthy going into the offseason.
Great. He said he's going to have another surgery. That's awful. This poor guy can't stay on the field. Paul Blackburn makes his Mets debut. I know G's going to stay up for that later tonight. He was 4-2 with the A's 4.41 ERA. The Mets are even in the loss column at San Diego and Arizona, but a half game out in the wild card race. Though they did get some help from the Cubs, who beat the Cardinals last night, scoring a couple of runs in the bottom of the ninth inning. American swimmer Katie Ledecky wins the silver in the 4x200-meter relay, 13th career Olympic medal. And from the world of YouTube golf, as gave me a little insight on this, so your guy Frank Borelli played Matt Barzell of the Islanders. Apparently, he's a big Islander fan. I didn't realize that.
Huge. The biggest.
Like, ridiculous.
So on the ninth hole, Barzell has a pitch shot, and it sounds like Borelli gives him the putt. So he now has, I would say, 4 feet maybe?
Sure.
To head, maybe even less.
So the ninth hole at Sabonic, which is par five, yes.
So he's got between 3 and 5 feet to head.
Okay. Does Barzy have a birdie?
No, he was in for, I think he was in
I
for
I think
par.
He was in for par because he chipped up and he gave him the putt.
Yeah.
Which he couldn't reach it in two?
No.
I didn't watch it.
He could not reach it in two, and he duffed his first chip. So, Frankie really had an opportunity here to have a hole he probably shouldn't have halved, and he had this putt to do so.
Muff. God. Nice chip. It's good.
And then here comes the putt.
Oh, come on, man.
Don't be nervous, Frankie.
Yeah, no, I can feel you're coming out for blood today. It's all right. Inside right.
Notice the reaction. He misses. Eventually. Now, that continued on to the next hole.
Oh! You suck.
Now they're in the cart together.
I'm sorry. Oh, my God.
No, you're not sorry.
That's amazing. Ball didn't even touch the wall. Oh. Oh.
Think he's got it under control?
It's a great putt. Oh, my God.
He took a drink of water and couldn't hold it in. So,
wow. That is the worst rub in I've ever heard in my life. You suck. Bull didn't even touch the hole and 45 seconds of straight laughing.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And Frankie would look legit pissed while this was going on.
He should.
And by the way, so maybe the key to Frankie winning something is playing with his buddy Trent.
Yeah.
Frankie. Not playing his own ball.
Right. Frankie was.
Trent was the guy that killed us.
Well, no, Frankie played great. Trent was making all the putts, though. Frankie's not great.
Saying.
Frankie gets nervous putting.
Okay.
So if he was playing his own ball, it would have been a different situation.
Frankie did put the ball close.
He played great that day.
No,
they
he
both
did.
Played very well. And he just didn't. He didn't have it in this
so
match.
He's a little nervous playing with Barzy.
Yeah.
You would have thought by 9 that would have worn off, though, too.
Well, they've played each other a ton off camera, and then on camera, you wanted to show how great these matches are, and he got whooped, unfortunately. And Barzal seems like a rough guy to play with. I mean, really rough guy.
You better
guy
come
to play with
your A game.
So, oh, so he's chirping him the whole way around.
Oh,
yes.
I mean, like, you wouldn't believe. I mean, you heard that. It's like, you suck.
If you could see it when he takes the drink of water at the end, and he can't stop laughing and spits it out.
Yeah, pretty much. So bad.
Pretty much.
All right, Jerry, good stuff. We'll see you next hour. It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Build Ford Tough Studio.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Feel good summer Friday on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. You gotta love when worlds collide. And worlds collided from the Olympics to here on Boomer and Geo, and I'll explain. So remember the other day we talked about Jules Boyer, the French diver who had the giant package?
Yes.
Well, guess who reached out to Jules Boyer and wanted Jules to be an endorser?
my penis look bigger.
No, not Joe Beningo. But someone we know well. And it made news so much so that TMZ Sports wrote about it this morning.
Oh, nice.
Our friends over at Chinesty. They said, Jules, with that giant ball sack that you got, put it in our ball hammock underwear. And they're sending them a bunch of stuff. They have reached out to Jules and Jules' team. And Jules
nice.
Hopefully accepts this endorsement deal and joins the Chinesty family. And we can all party together in our ball hammock pouch underwear.
Yes, that would be something.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, just bringing greatness together.
Yeah. I mean, and it was amazing. And it's funny because the headline was like, underwear company makes pitch to giant package diver. And I was like, it's got to be Chinesty. It has to be.
Why? Because there's nobody else.
Well, I mean, there's people that try to imitate.
Not
but
like that. They are the original.
They are the original ball hammock pouch underwear people. I mean, and they're the best, too. So that was great to see. So, I mean, I'm hoping they sent a package out there to Paris already. So I can't. And some of the swim trunks as well, because they also have swim
ball trunks. Hammock swim trunks.
They do have ball hammock swim trunks.
He needs it.
He certainly does.
Obviously can't swim in those in competition, but certainly, you know, in his regular life when he's, you know, by the beach or something like that.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, it also could be like his signature thing, you know, that attracts the ladies.
Maybe.
Yes.
And you know, when you go to Europe, you have people doing different things on beaches. You know, there's all sorts of nude beaches and banana hammocks and male speedos and all of those things. So, you know.
Is there a place on Fire Island for that stuff?
Yes.
Yeah, there is.
Absolutely.
Right.
Like if you walk too far east or west, you may see a penis you don't want to see. You know?
Yeah.
So you just have to, another head on a swivel spot. You just don't know where you're going, what you're walking into. Yeah. Take a little walk east from Sailor's Haven.
Okay.
You never know.
Never know.
You never know what you're going to run into. But it's beautiful no matter where you go. And we've been to all the communities over there.
Yes, we have. Island,
yes, and we love them. Let's go to Brian and Jackson. What's going on, Brian?
What's up, gentlemen? How you guys doing?
Great. How are you?
Good. I'm just got a question for you. You think he salted the rim before he put the lime in?
And Brian's... Brian's talking about the eel anus story.
Yes.
Where he also put a lime there as well.
Put the lime in the coconut in the morning.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good joke there.
That is a great joke.
I can't believe none of you guys got that. Out of the four of you.
Yeah, but I was the one that was focused in on it because it was
you
so...
You asked about it.
I asked about it.
But then you said it can't be true.
Yeah, because I just can't imagine somebody doing that on purpose to themselves. That's what
well,
I'm sorry.
I mean, come on. You've been around long enough these days. These stories are everywhere.
I know.
Legos and Sharpies.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff now that we are becoming more accustomed to seeing.
Yeah.
Just because of the ability for news to break and get out there.
Well, right. I mean, and also, I mean, a headline like that, I need to read about it. I need to know. That caught my attention. That's what headline writers need to do. Need to get our attention. Like these are the things, you know how Aaron Rodgers said that he got sent articles from the Jets PR staff about him not playing in preseason games. You know what I would do if I was a Jets PR staff? I just send him articles like that. Just get his head away from all the things that people are saying about him. I don't need you to know any of that. He's a curious guy. Here's the eel anus story. Why don't you consume that as opposed to what people are saying about you playing in preseason games?
Yeah. That would be interesting. Yeah. So, in other words, send all the information that has nothing to do with the Jets, has nothing to do with any questions about your ankle, your calf, or anything else. Just send them all eel anus stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to clear your mind.
Clear his mind.
Yeah. I mean, because you know he's going a mile a minute with this stuff. He doesn't need to know what with all the football writers or what Rich Cimini's saying or any of those guys. Any of that. You don't send him that stuff. It's distracting. Here, Elena's story. Take it. Consume it.
And then we can hear Joe Beningo react to Aaron Rodgers talking about that story.
Now you see this. Now he did what now?
They had to. So wait, did the lime go in first or second? And it ate his intestines. Bro. I mean, oh my God. 888-808-1019. Yeah,
I guess Joe's in here next week.
With Jerry.
Yeah, Joe, it's Joe and Jerry for a couple of days, and then I think they're going to give Willie Colon another shot after.
And hopefully he'll show up.
Yeah, after bagging out last minute and calling out sick, I guess like an hour before the show the last time.
Yeah, it's a little rough.
And then Al having to jump in and save the day. Yeah, I mean, that's a first impression around here. Not great.
Yeah, exactly, but you don't know what the situation is. You know, everybody's different. You know how that goes.
What do you mean everybody's different?
I mean, you can't jump to conclusions.
I didn't jump to a conclusion. I mean, he was sick. Called out sick.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I also came in here with the norovirus and puked into a garbage bag.
Yep, and so, I came in with 50 stitches in my mouth after taking a hockey stick to it.
So is that what you mean by everybody's different?
Everybody's different, man. Yeah. Some people have, you know, a hardcore work ethic.
Yeah.
And other people were worried about live-work balance.
Yeah, damn right. Worry about, you know, the things that don't matter. And we push our chips to the middle of the table.
Every single day.
Every goddamn day, except for next week when we're on vacation.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Feel-good summer Friday on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. You gotta love when worlds collide. And worlds collided from the Olympics to here on Boomer and Geo, and I'll explain. So remember the other day, we talked about Jules Boyer, the French diver who had the giant package?
Yes.
Well, guess who reached out to Jules Boyer and wanted Jules to be an endorser?
My penis looked bigger.
No, not Joe Beningo. But someone we know well. And it made news so much so that TMZ Sports wrote about it this morning.
Oh, nice.
Our friends over at Chinesty. They said, Jules, with that giant ball sack that you got, put it in our ball hammock underwear. And they're sending them a bunch of stuff. They have reached out to Jules and Jules' team. And Jules hopefully accepts this endorsement deal and joins the Shinesty family. And we can all party together in our ball hammock pouch underwear.
Yes, that would be something.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, just bringing greatness together.
Yeah. I mean, and it was amazing. And it's funny because the headline was like, underwear company makes pitch to giant package diver. And I was like, it's got to be Shinesty. Has to be.
It has to be. Well, because there's nobody else.
Well, I mean, there's people that try to imitate,
but they are the original.
They are the original ball hammock pouch underwear people. I mean, and they're the best too. So that was great to see. So I mean, I'm hoping they sent a package out there to Paris already. So I can't, and some of the swim trunks as well, because they also have swim
ball trunks. Hammock swim trunks.
They do have ball hammock swim trunks.
He needs it.
He certainly does.
Obviously can't swim in those in competition, but certainly, you know, in his regular life when he's, you know, by the beach or something like that.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, it also could be like his signature thing, you know, that attracts the ladies.
Maybe.
Yes.
And, you know, when you go to Europe, you have people doing different things on beaches. You know, there's all sorts of nude beaches and banana hammocks and male Speedos and all of those things. So, you know.
There a place on Fire Island for that stuff?
Yes.
Yeah, there is.
Absolutely.
Right.
Like if you walk too far east or west, you may see a penis you don't want to see. You know?
Yeah.
So you just have to, another head on a swivel spot. You just don't know where you're going, what you're walking into. Yeah. Take a little walk east from Sailor's Haven.
Okay.
You never know.
Never know.
You never know what you're going to run into. But it's beautiful no matter where you go. And we've been to all the communities over there.
Yes, we have. Island,
yes, and we love them. Let's go to Brian and Jackson. What's going on, Brian?
What's up, gentlemen? How you guys doing?
Great. How are you?
Good. I'm just got a question for you. You think he salted the rim before he put the lime in?
And Brian's... Brian's talking about the eel anus story.
Yes.
Where he also put a lime there as well.
Put the lime and the coconut in the moment.
I mean, that's a good joke there.
That is a great joke.
I can't believe none of you guys got that. Out of the four of you.
Yeah, but I was the one that was focused in on it because it was
you asked about it.
I asked about it.
But then you said it can't be true.
Yeah, because I just can't imagine somebody doing that on purpose to themselves. That's what I'm sorry.
I mean, come on. You've been around long enough these days. These stories are everywhere.
I know.
Legos and Sharpies.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff now that we are becoming more accustomed to seeing.
Yeah.
Just because of the ability for news to break and get out there.
Well, right. I mean, and also, I mean, a headline like that, I need to read about it. I need to know. That caught my attention. That's what headline writers need to do. Need to get our attention. Like these are the things, you know how Aaron Rodgers said that he got sent articles from the Jets PR staff about him not playing in preseason games. You know what I would do if I was a Jets PR staff? I just send him articles like that. Just get his head away from all the things that people are saying about him. I don't need you to know any of that. He's a curious guy. Here's the Elena story. Why don't you consume that as opposed to what people are saying about you playing in preseason games?
Yeah. That would be interesting. Yeah. So in other words, send all the information that has nothing to do with the Jets, has nothing to do with any questions about your ankle, your calf, or anything else. Just send them all Elena stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to clear your mind.
Clear his mind.
Yeah. I mean, because you know he's going a mile a minute with this stuff. He doesn't need to know what all the football writers or what Rich Cimini's saying or any of those guys. Any of that. You don't send him that stuff. It's distracting. Here, Elena's story. Take it. Consume it.
And then we can hear Joe Beningo react to Aaron Rodgers talking about that story.
Now you see this. Now he did what now? They had to. So wait, did the lime go in first or second? And it ate his intestines. Bro. I mean, oh my God. 888-808-1019. Yeah, I guess Joe's in here next week.
With Jerry.
Yeah, it's Joe and Jerry for a couple of days, and then I think they're going to give Willie Colon another shot after.
Yeah, hopefully he'll show up.
Yeah, after bagging out last minute and calling out sick. I guess like an hour before the show the last time.
Yeah, it's a little rough.
And then Al having to jump in and save the day. Yeah, I mean, that's a first impression around here. Not great.
Exactly. But you don't know what the situation is. You know, everybody's different. You know how that goes.
What do you mean everybody's different?
I mean, you can't jump to conclusions.
I didn't jump to a conclusion. I mean, he was sick. Called out sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I also came in here with the norovirus and puked into a garbage bag.
Yep, and so, I came in with 50 stitches in my mouth after taking a hockey stick to it.
So is that what you mean by everybody's different?
Everybody's different, man. Yeah. Some people have, you know, a hardcore work ethic.
Yeah.
And other people are worried about live-work balance.
Yeah, damn right. Worry about, things that don't matter. And we push our chips to the middle of the table.
Every single day.
Every goddamn day, except for next week when we're on vacation.